This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As you know, here on the Jody McDonald Show from time to time, coming your way live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. We like to touch base with the top sports towns across the country. Towns with good teams that are either playing well in season or got upcoming seasons that are going to be looking good. Well, we got a busy upcoming season for a bunch of New York teams. After the football season was over, the offseason became the more important season because the Jets and the Giants wanted to put their seasons behind them. And the upcoming baseball season, the Yankees surely believe they're a postseason squad. The Mets hope they are and or think they are. Want to do a little New York sports talk with you today. For that, I bring on one of my buds, works at WFAN, our outlet here in New York. He, like me, is a huge wrestling fan, and if I could ever get him to cozy up to horse racing, we could become BFFs. Evan Roberts, midday guy from WFAN, joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, Ev?
That's never happening. Not the BFF part. I would love to be your BFF, but the horse racing thing, never going
to
happen.
I get you out to the track. I think you could catch the fever. One of these days, you and me in Aqueduct in the middle of the winter. Oh, it's no place better than that in January. You want to be at Aqueduct Racetrack. We shall see. I listened to you yesterday. Jets made the big deal, moved up from number 6 to number 3. Two things that stuck out for me. Number one, you and I have the exact same rankings of the top 4 quarterbacks in this draft. We rate them in the exact same order. But apparently you think that there's a bigger separation between the guys because you like the trade that the Jets made. I don't necessarily like it because I don't see the separation there. I think you can get the same guy at 6 that you're going to get at 4. There's not that big a difference. First, tell the people what order you have them in and tell me why you think going from 3 to 6 is going to make a big difference.
Well, number one, I have Sam Darnold number 1. I have Josh Allen number 2. I've got Baker number 3 and Josh Rosen number 4 because I don't care how ready-made you are. I don't care how great you can be. If you don't play, you can't help a team. And I'm concerned about the injury history of Josh Rosen. But here's the thing. The Jets are picking 6 before they make this trade. Those are 4 quarterbacks we just mentioned. We know Buffalo wants to trade up. We know Denver can still take a quarterback even though they signed Case Keenum. So there is no guarantee that any of those guys are sitting there at 6. Is it likely one of them is sitting there at 6? Sure, it's likely. But there's no guarantee. What you've just done now with this trade, which I love it. I can't express how much I love this trade, is you are guaranteeing that you're getting either the 3rd guy or maybe even the 2nd guy. And oh, by the way, you could also continue to leapfrog. Now that you're at 3, maybe if the Giants really want Saquon Barkley, they can bluff the Jets and flip 2 and 3. And who knows, maybe you can convince the Browns even to flip 1 and 3. So I love it. And oh, by the way, they didn't even give up a future 1, which I love. I love that aspect too.
I agree with you that the price tag was not prohibitive. The RG3 trade was 6 up to 2, which isn't quite 6 up to 3, but damn close. And they gave up 2 ones and a 2.
Yep.
The Jets only had to give up 3 2s. So the price tag was less. I don't argue with the price tag. I just argue with the fact that I don't think they're getting that much different to quarterback. You're right. Somebody could jump up and get into one of the top 5 spots. We'll see if Denver does or doesn't take a quarterback. If the Jets hadn't done the deal, the Colts weren't going to take a quarterback, but somebody else could have moved up. I happen to be a fan of the kid from Oklahoma State. So if you add him to the quarterback mix and make it 5 deep, which I do, I think Mason Rudolph is as good as Sam Rosen and Baker Mayfield and the like. So I also have a little difference of opinion there. They were going to get a quarterback.
Sure.
And if getting the, and you're not guaranteed to get the one that you want because, as you say, they could get up to 1 or 3, but it's going to cost that much more. You're kind of at the mercy of 2 other teams. Yeah, I believe they get the same player at six that they're going to get at three.
You're at the mercy of two other teams, you're right. And you could force a division rival like the Buffalo Bills to pay some insane ransom to move up to two with the Giants, which hurts the Buffalo Bills potentially, considering they'd be giving up the world. You would be helping out the Giants who play in your building. Not that that should matter. But we just don't know what you're getting at six. You're right, especially if you go five deep with Rudolph. I like Lamar Jackson. I don't think he's a wide receiver. I think he could be a quarterback in this league. And I think mentoring or being mentored by a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who went to his college, and even a guy like Josh McCown, who everybody talks about being a player coach, I think that could work too. But clearly Mike Maccagnan has identified, I don't know who, but he's identified somebody in the other four that we mentioned that he really, really wants. Now, do I trust Mike Maccagnan? How can you? The guy picked Christian Hackenberg in the second round. But I think when you're going for it, you got to be aggressive. And the price tag, and I'm glad you agree it's not that much because it isn't, especially the Jet history of second-round picks. Their second-round picks over the last 7 years is a cavalcade of garbage outside of Marcus May last year, who actually looks like he can be a player. So I think that's a big part of it. The fact that they didn't have to give up that future one makes the gamble worth it. You're right in this aspect. Let's say the guy they've identified is Baker Mayfield. Let's just say it is. It is possible he would have been there at six, but you can't take that risk. That's the thing. You can't sit there thinking, I got to protect these three second-round picks because I think Baker Mayfield may be there. You've got to go do it. You have to be aggressive. And I appreciate that Mike Maccagnan did it and was aggressive.
Yeah, and this isn't me because I'm a rare breed. I'm an optimistic Jet fan, but I'm also an honest Jet fan, and I don't know that I would have pulled the trigger on this deal. You put out a hypothetical there that maybe they could do a deal with the Giants. Giants try and get them to buy into moving up to number two, and the Giants could still get Saquon Barkley at three. Giants pull a ruse on the Jets and say they're taking a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. How about if it plays the other way? The Jets try and recoup one of those second-round picks. Because if Cleveland takes a quarterback at one, which I think they're going to, they'd probably love to get Barkley at four. You tell them, listen, there's someone behind us who's willing to trade up and take the pick, and we're willing to give it up. So if you want Barkley, you need to trade with us. And we'll give you the third pick, and we'll just slot in there at four, but you got to give us a second-round draft pick back. So you can get one of those two back, get the same quarterback. Now, if they call you on the bluff, you got to have nerve. You got to pick Barkley. And then you call Cleveland back with 15 minutes left and go, we weren't kidding. You want Barkley? Give us that second-round pick. Now, then, you want to talk about aggressive. You want to talk about Maccagnan making a name for himself. Go ahead, call out Barkley's name and then double-dare Cleveland not to trade with you. Then I would be really impressed with the Jet general manager.
I would be very impressed, but just imagine, Jody, the 5 minutes of Jet fans sitting there thinking they just traded up to draft a running back.
That's right.
Just think about those 5 minutes.
To draft the best player in the draft.
All right, fine. He may be, but it's a running back. I mean, the Jets had Curtis Martin, who I love. He's one of my all-time favorite Jets. What the heck did they win with Curtis Martin here? You need a franchise quarterback. So as good as Saquon may be, that 5 minute period or 10 minute period of us thinking the Jets traded three number twos to draft a running back and we're going to wait another decade to get a franchise quarterback, that will be the hardest 5 minutes I think we've had in a long time.
Yeah, but they got Teddy ballgame now, so we're okay.
Hey, I love that Teddy's there. I think it's so worth the gamble. The guy was a Pro Bowl player before his injury. He's only 25 years old. I'm loving it. I mean, before this offseason began, if you said, what is your ideal offseason? That was it. It was sign Teddy Bridgewater and draft a quarterback and be aggressive in drafting a quarterback. So I'm excited about Teddy, but it would take, you're right, it would take so much guts to call Saquon's name to try to bluff the Browns into making a deal. But hey, this whole draft's about bluff. Look what happened last year with the whole Trubisky situation.
Yep.
We mentioned the Giants could certainly try to do it. The Giants are in a better position to do it because you can make an argument that they should draft Saquon Barkley, but you can also make an argument that they should draft a quarterback or trade back. All three of those things in a lot of ways make sense. So I think they're in a much better position to bluff the Jets than the Jets would be at bluffing the Browns. But then again, they are the Browns.
I will say this about the Giants. They should be thankful for what the Jets did
because
they made that Giant pick that much more valuable.
Oh, my God.
They absolutely helped their the hallway partners there in MetLife Stadium. And I do want to ask you about the Yankees and the Mets. One last Jet/Bridgewater question. Why only a one-year deal? They couldn't get a two-year deal with the money being guaranteed in the first and giving themselves a little bit of a safety net just in case the draft goes awry and Bridgewater plays out of his mind, that at least they have a second year of Teddy Bridgewater locked in?
I'm not worried about it because if Teddy plays well enough to reestablish himself as a starting quarterback in this league, I'm not really worried. I think the Jets would bring him back. I think that Teddy would probably want to come back. So you're right. In an ideal world, it would have been nice to get that extra year as a security blanket. But I'm not even worried about that. If this guy proves, if he can get back to his Pro Bowl level, I think it'll take care of itself.
But then next year, somebody else will be willing to pay him, like the Arizona Cardinals were willing to give Sam Bradford $20 million.
Hey, worst comes to worst, you just waive that franchise tag. You still have that option. You still have that caveat that you could always
use. That's true. You got a point there. All right, Mets and Yankees upcoming season. 2 years ago, Mets were in the World Series. The Yankees were out of the playoffs. For a long-suffering Met fan, it was kind of a confluence of a perfect storm. The Mets got good, better than expected. Yankees weren't as good as they always are expected. Pretty much flattened out again last year with the Yankees becoming the Yankees again and the Mets going back to being the Mets. Is it going to be a long season for Met fans again this year?
I think it'll be better than last year, and that's not really saying much because they were dreadful last year, but I think they should be better, especially if DeGrom and Syndergaard are healthy at the top of the rotation, because despite all the other questions with the rest of the rotation, what is Matt Harvey, what is Steven Matz, can he stay healthy, I think having a healthy DeGrom and Syndergaard gives you two legitimate all-star caliber pitchers, two guys who could battle for a Cy Young potentially in a perfect world. I'm not sure that their bullpen is going to be good enough. I'm not sure if offensively they're going to be balanced enough. They have very little team speed. The catching situation is a mess. I don't care what guys have done in spring training. I don't know if Adrian Gonzalez has done or not. But I think the starting pitching at the top should be significantly better. So they'll be a better team, and maybe they'll be in the conversation for a wild card race. The problem is the Nationals are just a lot better. So even if everything broke right for the Mets, it would take a Nationals disaster, kind of like 2015. We forget that. You know, part of the reason why the Mets were able to win the division is that the Nationals were a mess. They won 82, 83 games that year and gave the Mets time. It bought them time to make the trade for Yoenis, to make the trade for Addison Reed, to add Kelly Johnson and Juan Uribe. So I think they'll be better, but I'm not – I was talking about this like an hour ago, but I don't want to get on another plane ever again unless the Mets are in the World Series. And I don't think I have anything to worry about, so I don't think I'm getting on a plane.
All right, you don't have to worry about that this year, and you won't go cover the Yankees. If the Yankees are two or three games over 500, the Red Sox didn't blow the division away. Nobody else in the American League is running wild other than the Indians and the Astros, and the Yankees are looking at either taking a run at the Red Sox and or going the wild card route again, and there's pitching available – and Andujar and Torres are ripping it up down in the minors, and they can make a move. Will the Yankees at the trade deadline go, yeah, to hell with that whole stay under the luxury tax thing?
I think they'll go for it. I think it depends who the person is. You know, I think it depends which arm we're talking about. Like, are they going to do that for a guy like Zach Greinke, who I question if he can handle New York? Probably not. If the San Francisco Giants had like this horrible season and all of a sudden they're trading Madison Bumgarner, yeah, I think the Yankees would be all over it. I think the Yankees have shown you that in the right situation, in the right moment, they'll do what they have to do to win. And what's scary about the Yankees is that not only do they have that money and that will to go over that number if need be, and they're in a good spot where they're not really that close to going over it. So they can be aggressive at the trade deadline and not even go over that number and still be able to reset that tax into the offseason next year. But not only do they have the money, they have those prospects. And you mentioned a couple of them with Andujar and Torres. I don't think there's any way they trade Gleyber Torres. I think they love him too much. But a guy like Estevao Florial, some of the young pitchers that they have, they're so loaded in their farm system and they have so much money to spend that they'll make a big deal if need be. But I think in a perfect world for Cashman, things go well enough where they don't have to make that big deal, where there aren't enough holes, because the Yankees have a chance to be a tremendous team this year. I think the pitching is the thing you worry about, but if Tanaka bounces back and Montgomery takes another step and Severino backs up what he did last year and you have Sonny Gray for a full year, you know, they may not even need to make a big deal at the trade deadline.
All right, I'll give you the guy. You two guys in there, and I like your evaluation of both. Greinke, no. Bumgarner, yes, but they're too easy. What if the Rangers are nowhere, Cole Hamels is pitching well, the Yankees have a desperate need, and they're willing to give him up, but you got to give him the right prospect in return. His number would push the Yankees over the limit. Would you do it for Cole Hamels?
If I got a chance to win a championship, and Cole Hamels has done it in the postseason before, he's a lefty, which is always something you love to add to Yankee Stadium, I would do it. I think it depends which prospect we're talking about. I think that's always the key. They're so loaded they can afford to make a deal in which they deal big prospects. They did that with Brandon Drury. Like, they gave up pretty good prospects, but when you're so loaded, when your farm system is so deep, you don't feel it as much. So, to me, Cole Hamels is a winner. It's a guy who's experienced postseason before. He's done it in a tough place to play as far as the media and the fan pressure. So, I think a couple of things. It would depend on the kind of season he's having, obviously. I got to see what type of year he's having. And it depends which prospects I'm giving up. But financially, this is all about a tax. This is not about the Yankees can't spend over this number. It's about a willingness to, hey, if we go over that number, are we willing to pay so much in tax if we sign a big free agent? If you're trying to win a championship, tax be damned. So to me, if Cole Hamels is having a good enough year and I'm not giving up the crown jewel of prospects in my system, which is probably Gleyber Torres, I'm certainly talking about it because I think Cole can, without a doubt, handle New York and maybe put me over the top.
Mark my words, he'll be talking about it on The Fan come July. Evan Roberts, a pleasure, my friend. Thank you, buddy. And you and I, Aqueduct, next December, pencil it in.
Hey, one thing. Say no to The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Just say no. No. No.
I like The Undertaker, but
no.
It's... John Cena, Undertaker,
no.
Combined age is what, 96?
Well, that's not even my problem. The guy retired last year. They closed WrestleMania with him taking his outfit off. Don't tell me, oh, he's coming back as Biker Taker. That makes it okay. Give me a break. He's retired. He's done. Goodbye. And by the way, the answer to that question is like 100.
That's what I thought.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.